come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
And let us,
yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Grab a Bible. Let's open it up to Micah.
Chapter 5, and I'm thinking like
let's read the chapter maybe. No, we won't do the whole chapter. Micah and chapter 5. Anybody know where we're going with Micah 5 2?
Bethlehem.
We're going to Bethlehem, praise the Lord. The clue is probably up here on the old little town of Bethlehem screen, praise the Lord. And so Zechariah, Malachi, where were we looking again? Jonah, Micah, after Jonah. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Do we know the books of the Bible by heart?
Yeah.
Jonah, Micah. If we can sing them, right? No, we tried that. Micah at chapter 5. I love the Christmas story, and it's more than a story, again, it's an exposition of truth, praise the Lord. And so here we find again, if you remember, the wise men came to view the birth, and they came to Herod and asked Herod where the Christ was to be born, the King of the Jews, and took him back, and he asked the scholars, and they pointed him to this verse. And so let's go ahead and look a little bit at the little town of Bethlehem this morning. There's things in this accounting that we want to look at that I've preached here before, but I just can't get enough of, and so we'll look at them here today. And let's start by reading these verses. Micah and chapter 5. The Bible says, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." Verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you again that we can meet on this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you for other saints that would gather with us to worship here and to praise your name, to open the scriptures together, sing songs together, and to rejoice in what you've done in the lives of the likes of us to cause again that we'd have everlasting life. Praise you now and thank you as we look at some Bible facts that you've given to us, and Father, that we might marvel a little bit more even in the birth of your only begotten Son, and we'll praise you and thank you for your touch on your words. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen, amen. O little town of Bethlehem, there's things about the city of Bethlehem. I don't know if I can click through these slides. This doesn't have open office on it. So if I turn this on, So, while we're looking to get Firefox on there, I need to see if we can't get Open Office on there too. So,
on there.
Open Offices?
Yeah, I think she had Microsoft Office.
I like that work right there.
So it won't open my presentations or skip through it. So, I had that clicking through the slides there a minute ago. So, Bethlehem Ephratah, notice the verse here, and let's just look at it. We'll review the slides in a later time, I suppose. But here, as we look at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the birthplace, it's at Bethlehem Ephratah. Bethlehem is a curious little town. Beverly and I have been there and didn't like it that much. The first trip to Israel we made, we were forbidden to go to Bethlehem because it was under Palestinian control, and so no Jews were allowed there. Our guide was not allowed in, and neither was our bus driver allowed to go into Bethlehem because it was under Palestinian control. Sounds like a lot of freedom, doesn't it? So they hate the Jews and, again, do discriminate against them. And Catholics were allowed in, but Jews were not allowed in, okay? So a very curious mess in the Middle East there. And it's still going on today. So, again, understand that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Bethlehem, too. So Bethlehem Ephratah, it was the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Benjamin was born there, and that's where it picked up the name Ephratah. And so, again, there came Rachel, and if you remember the account, she died in childbirth when Benjamin was born, and that, again, gave it the title Ephratah. Bethlehem Ephratah, there's a meaning to each of those names. We find also that on the way to the throne, King Saul stopped by at Bethlehem. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he visited there. King David, of course, was born there. He was of the tribe of Judah, and the great-grandson of Boaz and Ruth. And we know that Boaz and Ruth met there. David desired the water, if you remember, while there was a garrison of Philistines in Bethlehem. When he finally got it from his men, you remember he poured it out. And then our Lord Jesus Christ was born there. And as I said, there's still a garrison of Philistines there in control of that place. Bethlehem, the birthplace of Messiah. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord for the birth of the Messiah. Praise the Lord that it was the Messiah. Praise the Lord that he brought eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, then you need to be. If you're listening in today and you are not saved or don't understand what that phrase means, then you need to be. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Turn in your Bible to very familiar verses. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then verse 17 that I just quoted, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." There it is. Verse 18 then says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I don't have to say this for most of you in here, but when you stand before the judge and you're guilty, you are condemned already. That's what that means. condemned already means you're just waiting for the sentence. And so I've stood before the judge guilty as charged and waited for his sentence. You shouldn't speed through Watkins Glen. That's all I got to say about that. But it's standing before the judge condemned. I learned again what it means to be condemned, and it's important to understand that mankind is already condemned. I've had people say, well, I asked them if they're saved, and they said, saved from what? And what's a good answer for that? I've always answered, saved from sin. But a lot of people don't want saved from sin. They like it out there in the sin world. But we need saved from condemnation. And Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. And so listen, we get saved from condemnation. You have loved ones. You have neighbors. You have people you're going to wish a Merry Christmas to this year that need saved from condemnation. And so, again, that verse again says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36 of John 3 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Look over at John 5:24. You know how you say that in Greek? Verily, verily. It says amen and amen, all right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that's John 5 and verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And look at, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Listen, if you're not saved, you're going to come into condemnation. In fact, you're already standing there. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Again, there's going to be a judgment. And I'll tell you, you don't want to leave this world standing in condemnation. And again, understand that people need the Lord. People need to be saved. I'd go through the whole Romans road, but at least get to this point. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There it is again. People need saved. And people need to hear that message. People need to hear those verses. Our loved ones, our neighbors, people that are wondering what Christmas is, and there's a bunch. And so notice here we have the story beginning in the city of Bethlehem. Euphrata is a curious name. It means ash heap, a place of fruitlessness. And so again, we find again that how is it that out of the ashes comes fruitfulness? And so Euphrata means the ash heap, and it also means fruitfulness. And so we find again that fruit, that good, is going to come out of the ashes. In Genesis 48, when Jacob came and Rachel died in the land of Canaan, in the way when there was but a little way to come unto Euphrata, and I buried her there in the way of Euphrath, the same is Bethlehem. And so again, that's where a birth came out of Bethlehem, and that's the fruitfulness that came out of the ashes. Two kings came from Bethlehem, as I mentioned. King Saul came through Bethlehem on his way to the throne. And King David, of course, was born there, called a man after God's own heart. Bethlehem is the birthplace of David. It's called the city of David. It's the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ. was to be born there because he was of the tribe of Judah and of the lineage of David. How is it that out of ashes comes fruitfulness? Continue the story with Ruth, the Moabite, who came and dwelt in Bethlehem and met a guy named Boaz there. And Boaz came to be called the kinsman redeemer.
Right.
And out of ashes, out of a horrible story beginning, came Ruth with her mother-in-law and dwelt there in Bethlehem and gave birth again to the lineage of Christ. Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Bethlehem also means the house of bread.
Yeah.
Again, when they left left Bethlehem again to go off into the wilderness, that's where again Naomi again lost her husband, lost her sons, and came back to the house of bread. And that's the name of that. Isn't that curious that the Savior was to be born in the house of bread? Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. Bethlehem, David desired water from its well. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the living well. He is the living water that came from Bethlehem. Jesus answered and said unto her, this is a woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that speaketh unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus answered again and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Praise the Lord. So how is it that Christ, out of the ashes comes fruitfulness? Isaiah 53 states it, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we have esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The first advent of Christ. An advent is not just the coming of Christ. An advent is a long anticipated and surely prophesied event. And that's what the first advent. It was prophesied for 4,000 years. Starting there in Genesis 3:15, that Christ, the seed of woman, would bruise Satan's head, and Satan would bruise his heel. And so there again we see the first advent differentiated from the second. The second advent, as we just mentioned, it's going to come with the millennial reign of Christ here upon this earth. So the second advent has been prophesied now for 6,000 years, and it's clearly prophesied, and what's going to happen in that time period is clearly portrayed in the Bible for those that would read it. But here, notice again that the first advent, he doesn't come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He comes as a servant, as it says in Isaiah 53, and he comes to take your sin debt and my sin debt, and to pay that price. So we have Bethlehem Ephrata, the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice again Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Think about the names of Jesus. Jesus again was called Jesus. Why did they call him Jesus?
God saved.
For he shall
save
his people from their sins. So it's given to us very clearly that he shall call his name Jesus, because for the reason that he's going to be a Savior, and that name means the Savior. Don't be confused. I think we looked at this on a verse Wednesday night. Joshua was the Savior that led them into the Promised Land. Same meaning, same name, same word. Joshua was called that. But Jesus, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And that's in Matthew chapter 1. It also says in the Old Testament, well, let me read it here. It says, thou shalt call his name Wonderful, Counselor,
the Mighty God.
What are you going to call the child that's born? We're going to call him the Mighty God. He never claimed to be God. I don't care what unbelievers say. Again, understand that the Bible claims he's God. And it gives him that name. His, the child's name shall be the Everlasting Father. The child's name shall be the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. We mentioned the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, takes more than believing in God. It takes more than saying, I believe that Jesus existed. It means that you're going to believe in what he did and receive him as Savior. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I got a picture here that's one of the saddest pictures in my display. I pointed in Bethlehem, Ephrata. While I was there, I picked up a picture of Bethlehem, and I put a little marker pointing to all the churches that are in Bethlehem. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 churches in Bethlehem in one picture. When we went to Bethlehem with Brother Charlie Clark, we didn't even stay in the city. We went and sat up on a hill where the shepherds watched their flocks by night, and had a good worship service there and learned a lot about shepherds. But the city, again, is too religious for us. And here are all these 8 churches. How many of them are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ?
None.
Not one. Not one of these church steeples sticking up is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're counting beads. They're counting on Holy Mary, Mother of God. They're counting on good works. They're counting on, again, all other things, all the other man-made religious things to get to heaven. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Church is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Church of the Nativity, the Church of St. Catherine, the Chapel of the Shepherd's Field, the Church of the Shepherds, the Christmas Lutheran Church, the Lady of Fatima Church, the Milk Grata Church, and St. Charbel Church, and Covenant. Religions of our day are missing out on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no mistake, again, if there's a person saved, we talked about someone that got saved from a Seventh-day Adventist. And you want to be nervous about that because they got a whole bunch of rules they stacked onto the Bible. Again, want to get saved by works. But listen, I've met a lot of people that got saved not in the Methodist church, but a lot of Methodists that got saved by listening to Billy Graham crusades. A lot of charismatics got saved again. They don't follow the Bible, nor do they believe in the authority of the Bible. But again, they do have enough gospel in there that a person can get saved. And so we're not going to say that all of them are unsaved, but I will say this, that as a religious establishment, none of them are preaching the gospel nor teaching the word of God. And so we want to be careful and understand. Even in our society, we watched again all the rejoicing and the people naming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them had never named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before and had called themselves Christian all their lives until Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Then all of a sudden they all took up the banner and started talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard a couple of our officials say that I've talked more about Jesus Christ than I have in my whole life in just the past couple months. Why is that? Because Charlie Kirk, he knew the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved by being born again, by putting his faith and trust in Christ. And so again, this year, don't let someone saying, well, I'm a Christian, deceive you again. And make sure that we just give the gospel. The gospel needs to be given. Those verses, starting with John 3:16-17, and 18 again. Those need to be given. And we need to again understand that out of the ashes of Bethlehem came a glorious salvation testimony filled with man-made religions and filled with troublous times. Out of the ashes, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. The Lord is going to come back. There is a second advent prophesied. And boy, we need to be ready for his coming. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity be within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Psalms 122. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've done it a couple times this past week. Is just get yourself a pencil and a scrap of paper and write out word for word Psalms 122. You'll learn more by writing a chapter in your Bible word for word. And you'll look at every word and you'll look at every punctuation mark to do that. Boy, I'd encourage you to understand that God is going to do some things for Israel. We're about out of time, but I do want to look again I just reviewed a whole bunch of things on the prophecies of Scripture. Let me mention for you one more time Daniel chapter 9. And look at it with me, if you would, Daniel in chapter 9. Listen, there's coming a time when the Lord is going to come again. And with the events going on in America and the hatred that we see stirring up, even on the streets and campuses of America, with the course of America and the new rise of the Democratic Party, and it's shaking its fist at God and God's word and God's laws, again, understand that, hey, we're right on the precipice here of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, again, that his coming is going to be at a time that we don't know. But, again, there are signs that we need to be ready. And listen, if you're a born-again Christian, you're told to be a good steward of that time and to be looking up and to recognize that he's coming at any moment. And so over here in Daniel in chapter 9, look with me at verse 24. Daniel 9:24. We look off into the future and understand that there's a coming and there's some promises made that God will fulfill. I've talked about this a great deal in our hunt for the last October Bible Prophecy Conference, but Daniel 9:24 says this, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make a reconciliation for iniquity. Pause right there for a second and understand that here's the 70 weeks and 69 of them have all been fulfilled. There's only one more week to go, and that's a week of years. That's a seven-year period that's outlined in the book of Sevens, a revelation of Jesus Christ. And notice what's going to happen at the end of that. That's going to be a finishing of the transgression. And there's going to be an end of sins. You see that there? And that's because he's going to rule and reign with an iron fist, the Bible says, from the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring to everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. And listen, he's going to be anointed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at his second coming. And so here, as we're celebrating his first advent, make sure that we can again clarify that his birth is where he came. He came to die for your sins. He came to die for my sin. He came again to bring us, to reconcile us back to God. And that you and I, if we're born again Christians, and old things are passed away, and all things are become new, we are to be ministers of reconciliation, to carry that message out to others. Boy, again, I want to encourage you that you have that on your mind this week. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been forth, has been from of old, from everlasting. Bible says there's a few things, only a few things that's here before the foundation of this world. And one of them is the fact that God would send his only begotten Son to redeem mankind. And so there it is in the verse, from everlasting. And here we understand that it's from before the foundation of the world, God determined he would send his Son. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown, and 12 stars, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And the great red dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was able, or who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. But he's coming again, all right. So as we look at the scriptures, boy, marvel at the birth of Christ. There are so many details. I have 6 messages all outlined that take better than an hour just to go through looking at the prophetic details of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish we had time to cover them all. But marvel in the song, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. In fact, while we're marveling, let's sing that in closing. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the miracle of the birth of your Son. May we never get over it. Father, we can barely comprehend it. Help us to always marvel in the fact that you would send your only begotten Son to a little town of Bethlehem. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. I'm thinking it's 100 and something. 117. Now let's stand. Move this. Nice. with that song, praise the Lord. Watch the words, and sometimes you got to be careful of the words in Christmas songs. So always balance it with the truth, but watch the words in this little town of Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together, men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his hand. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters last verse. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great triumph. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you for being here and worshiping today. Let's go celebrate more Christmas for a week. Hallelujah.
Whoa! Thank you. Hey, the new phone's out. Sorry.